My text is found in that passage that we read, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. We'll read the whole text, but we'll concentrate just on a few words. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." To look at just the first few words of this verse, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee." It's always a time of new year, time to reflect on the past, look a little bit at the present, and also to consider the future. That's what I'd like to do today. And to look at that word there, remember. Remember. You'll all have heard of Albert Einstein, the famous theoretical physicist, E equals MC squared and all that sort of thing. He wasn't a believer. He was a Jew, of course, but he wasn't religious. But he said this: learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow. Learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow. Of course, he wasn't unique. He wasn't the first to say that, just rephrased it. But that's a good sound bite, if you like, to start a new year. Learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow. And if you want a theme to remember today's sermons, that would be an easy one to remember, wouldn't it? Learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow. So what I'd like to do this morning is to encourage you to look back. To look back, as Einstein said, many others have said, of course, learn from yesterday, learn from yesterday. And this, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, is a time when God's people were being encouraged to look back. "Thou shalt remember," says Moses to the people of Israel. "Thou shalt remember all the way thy God has led thee." Where were the children of Israel? Well, they were right on the borders of the promised land. The eastern border of the promised land. Of course, this is the second generation that came out from Egypt. All of the first generation perished because of their murmuring and their complaining, because they had failed to remember all the way their God had led them, and they'd gone after their own ways. Most of those that came out of Egypt perished in the wilderness, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of God. All those 20 years old and upward had perished in the wilderness, save for these two, Caleb and Joshua. So this was a new people, if you like, a new people who were coming into the promised land, about to enter the land of promise, waiting to cross the Jordan to the inheritance that God had promised for them. Waiting, because they'd been wandering, hadn't they, for 40 years, wandering in the desert. God had led them a merry dance, if we can say it that way, all around the deserts there, to humble them and to prove them and to know what was in their hearts. So here they are, the people of God, Israel, out of Egypt, having spent their 40 years wandering. They're on the eastern land of the border of the promised land, and they're waiting to go in. Not for them, of course, a new year in terms of the calendar, but certainly a new beginning. And if you read through Deuteronomy, you can see what Moses is doing. Deuteronomy really is three sermons that Moses preached to the people of Israel on the plains of Moab. And the first sermon is concerning, we have it in this chapter, the look goes back, rehearses over the 40 years of their wilderness wanderings which have led them to this moment. Second reminds the Israelites of the need for an exclusive allegiance to God as they go in to the promised land, an exclusive allegiance to God, because they were surrounded by tribes and nations that believed in false gods, man-made gods, just the same as we do today. A reminder in the second sermon to observe the laws which God had given them. The laws that God had given them, that Moses had received up there on the mountain, to observe those. And the third offers a comfort, that even though it's a comfort really and a warning, we could spend some time looking at this, but we won't. A comfort and a warning that even though Israel would prove unfaithful, yet God would still be with them and be their God. So really in Deuteronomy, Moses is looking back and he's looking forward as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 as well, he's looking back and looking forward. He's looking back at the amazing and marvellous deliverance that Israel had had out of Egypt. And he's also looking forward to that new life that was going to be theirs in the promised land. Moses' sermon in this early part of the book was really to show them everything that God had done for them and everything that he was about to do and every promise that he had promised, he showed them he would fulfill, that God would do it. And of course, their new life in the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey, would either be blessed or cursed, depending on how the Israelites looked at God and how they considered God and whether they had an exclusive allegiance to him or went after the false gods of the heathen. These words in Deuteronomy 8 were spoken on the 11th month of that final year of wandering in the wilderness. And of course, as we see in chapter 8 and verse 2, those 40 years were a probation, really. A time of testing and proving. And I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again, that this life is a probation for us as well, a time of testing and a time of proving. Who is your allegiance to? That's the question, isn't it? That's what these Israelites were being reminded of. Who is your allegiance to? Or we could bring it up today and said, who has put you in this chapel this morning? Yourself? You brought yourself here? Why are you here? It's a new life for these Israelites. It's a new life that the people of God have, not the life that the world has. A new life that the people of God, that's what God has given us, a new life if we're in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our life is a time of testing for us, a time of proving. Do we see what God has done for us? That's what Moses is saying to these Israelites. You look back. All of you that are 20 years old and upward, and you Caleb, and you Joshua, you look back and see what God has done. And you remember what it was like in the past when you were in Egypt. And you look back and see what God has done and what God is doing and what God is about to do. Remember. Remember all the way thy God has led thee these days, years in the wilderness. And that's what our life is as believers. We can bring this right up to date. We can make this contemporary for today. That's what our life is. It's a probation time. Are we ready? Are we being humbled? Are we giving exclusive allegiance to God? Or are we going our own way and after our own whims and our own desires? Is God just a sort of God that's parked over there whilst we get on with our life until we need him at the end? Remember. That's what Moses is saying. Remember who put you where you are in the first place. Moses, you see, was at the end of his life. Unlike us, Moses was told that he was going to die. He knew this was the end. He knew, not literally the date, but he knew the time when he was going to die, because here he is on the promised land. And you remember his rebellion and his disobedience at those waters of Meribah. And God told him there, you're not going to enter the promised land, Moses. You're going to die and you're going to be buried in the plains of Moab. You're not going to put one footstep in that promised land because of your disobedience. And so Moses, you see, at the end of his life is encouraging the people to look back as well as to look forward, because you can imagine these people, the excitement, the anticipation there that Here's the promised land right in front of them. We don't want to listen to three boring sermons, thank you, Moses. We want to get on. We want to get into the promised land. We've had enough of this wandering in the wilderness. We want to get on. Don't want to listen to another three sermons. Let's get on, shall we, into the promised land. But Moses is saying, you just stop there for a moment. And that's what a new year should be like for us. So just stop for a moment and think. Think back. Remember. Remember the providence, the mercy, the grace, the long-suffering, the patience of God with you these 40 years to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. And look, he says in verse 3, he suffered them to hunger, fed them with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone. Of course, you could bring that up today and say man doth not live by bread alone, because there's something else, isn't there? There's something more to this life than just this life. So Moses was exhorting the people of God, the preacher, if you like, the minister, encouraging his congregation to remember and to look back. So let's take Moses' advice then and look back. Let's remember. Now, this is a commandment. You know, there's so much in the Bible, isn't there, that we read and we think, oh, well, that's a sort of take it or leave it type thing. We might do that if we feel up to it. We might do that, might not. But these things, these words that are used here, this is a command. Thou shalt. It's repeated in verse 18, just in case they didn't hear it the first time. Thou shalt remember. And of course, if you go through the scriptures, there's verse after verse after verse that tells us to remember, to look back. To look back at what God has done. Genesis, remember the rainbow. Go through the Old Testament, we go through the Psalms, go through the prophets, the prophecies. There are hundreds of verses that tell us to remember, to look back and see what God has done. Right up to the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, it says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. We're always being told to remember. You see, but memory's a strange thing, isn't it? Memory sometimes, like all our other faculties, can either help us or hinder us. Because the trouble with our memories is it's very selective, isn't it? And we often remember the good times and forget the bad. And we often remember the things we shouldn't have done and forget the things we should have done. The words which we shouldn't have said and the words we should have said. We've got a life, haven't we? A life lived, all stored up in our minds, in our memories. Sometimes a life that comes back to haunt us, doesn't it? We may not have to wander through the wilderness of the desert for 40 years, but we've had to live in this wilderness. If you're a believer, that should be how the world is to you, a wilderness. Moses' question, if we rephrase it for the modern mind, is today, is can you see anything in the past year, or go back several years if you want to, can you see anything in the past year that marks out God's providence, sovereignty, and mercy towards you? Can you? That's the question. That's the question. Can you see anything of God's providence, sovereignty, and mercy toward you? It's going to be different for each one because we're all different. God doesn't deal with us in groups. He deals with us as individuals. But can you see, can you remember anything of God working in your life? Or is your only sort of view of God as someone who you come and listen to a sermon being preached on the Lord's Day a couple of times? Can you see anything of God working in your life? You know, because the Christian life is far, far more than just coming here twice a week. It's a life, isn't it? There's a lot in between. those 160 odd hours in between coming here and listening to the sermon, is your Christian life. So look back. Can you see anything that God has done for you? Or is all what you've done for yourself? Let's look at a few things that should be common to all of us as believers. And all I'm trying to do really is to make you reflect on what God has done for you in this past year. Because I can say this with some research backing it up, that you might as well forget any New Year resolutions that you've had. Because there have been lots of studies over the past few years that probably 90% of any New Year resolution you've made will fail quite quickly. So don't start making New Year resolutions. It's better to look back, because that will help you to look forward. We've no idea what the future will hold in the next few minutes. But we can, like Einstein said, learn from yesterday, because it will help us live for tomorrow. Let's consider a few things that will help us and will be common to all believers. The first thing, as you might have guessed from the hymns that we've sung, is God's covenant. God's covenant. Can you look back and see that God has not failed once in remembering his covenant with you? Every day of the 365 days of 2018, God has kept his covenant. And we could say, bless God, thank God he has remembered. He has remembered. Genesis 9:15 says, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature. He remembers his covenant. God could have forgotten, couldn't he? It says elsewhere in the Bible, God could have repented. He could have forgotten. There are many examples in the scripture where God has said he's repented, and he could have repented of that. He could have repented of you. We've been sinful enough, haven't we, this past year? You know, let's get some reality going here. We've been sinful enough this past year. God could have said, that's enough. That's enough. What keeps us in union with God? Not us. It's his covenant. His covenant. We've grieved the Spirit. We've turned our backs upon him. We've gone our own way. But what keeps God and the believer united? His covenant. Why hasn't God left us like sheep just to go our own way? Because of the covenant, isn't it? Because he made a covenant with us, a covenant of grace and of mercy, not a covenant of works that Adam and Eve were under. That's gone. Forget any of your works. They won't help. That's gone. That's finished with. That ended there, Genesis chapter 3. It's a covenant now, a covenant of grace. It's God's covenant. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 that he hath obtained a more excellent ministry by which he is the mediator of a better covenant. Not that old covenant of works, but he is the mediator, Paul says, as a minister, as an apostle, he was the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Of course, we could go into this in great detail, but if you put it simply, God has made a covenant. He's made a covenant with himself. The triune God has covenanted together to save a people. That's what happened in eternity, in the councils of eternity. God got together with himself, if I can say it there, and said, we will make a covenant to save a people out of this sinful race. The people that God the Father saved by God the Son and gave God the Holy Spirit to indwell. Do you remember that high priestly prayer in John chapter 17? Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Thine they were. Whose were they? They were God's. God's people. Who did he give them to? The Lord Jesus Christ. Those that were written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, God the Father made a covenant with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, a covenant which they have kept throughout every single day of 2018, and you can go back, 2017, 16. A covenant they have kept. And a covenant that they will keep. That's the important thing. Not just for 2018, but for 2019, 2020, if we're spared. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come again. A covenant that they will keep with you, dear believer, every single day of the life that you have left. That's what the promise is. A mediator of a better covenant with better promises. Ethan the psalmist tells us in Psalm 89 that God says, "My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. My covenant will I not break," he says, "nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." You see, if you've been to the prayer meetings when I've been going through the attributes of God, time before I spoke about the immutability of God. God does not change. He made a covenant with himself. It's not a covenant that he breaks. It's a covenant that he keeps because he can, because he's God, because he has the power to do it. We can't keep our covenants. We can't keep our promises, can't we? We can't achieve our hopes. We're frustrated in everything that we do, but God isn't. God keeps his covenant. And he says, "My mercy I will keep for him forevermore." The people of God have been chosen in him, Ephesians 1, verse 4. And grace was given unto them in Christ Jesus before the world began, 2 Timothy 1, 9. And the Lord Jesus Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world as a lamb without spot or blemish, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you. That's the covenant. Ordained before and given for you. That's the covenant that God has made with himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, the world has been going mad these past few weeks over the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they haven't really, but they've been going mad in the shops, haven't they? But this is the sort of time when people are supposed to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and December the 25th and all that. You know, but why? Why did he come into the world? Why was God manifest in the flesh? Why did God send forth his Son made of a woman made under the law? Why did he do that? Because of the covenant. Because of the covenant he made. He kept his promise. Christ placed himself under the law. He kept the promise. He kept the covenant. He did what God told him to do. He was perfectly obedient in every way. God didn't have to go through that for himself. You know, in one sense, there's no benefit to God in that. A huge benefit to us, but, you know, for God, God's still God, whether he has any people or not. But he did it for us, for you, sinner. That's why Christ came into the world. Not to give us 2 days bank holiday when people can indulge themselves up to the limit. He came to save people from their sins, John 3:16. That's why he came. He came to take your sins away. He came to blot out the handwriting of the ordinances which is against you. To regenerate you, to give you a place of repentance, to give you faith. To justify you, to give you life. Why should we remember that? Heard it so many times before, haven't we? Time and time again, someone will stand up here and talk about sin and death and hell and the judgment and then talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we remember that? Well, because it's a promise, isn't it? And if you're here as a believer, that's why you should be here worshipping God, because of what he has done for you. Thou shalt remember all the way thy God has led thee. Thou shalt remember your sins being forgiven. Thou shalt remember your reconciliation to him. Thou shalt remember that you've been adopted into the family of God. Thou shalt remember that you've been sanctified. Thou shalt remember that one day you'll be glorified. If you think about last year, 2018, you know, what's kept you through 2018? Come on, think inside for a moment. What's kept you through 2018? Your own strength, your own abilities? Let's get real, as they say. You know, where would we be without the covenant that God made? Where would we be without the covenant that God... We can widen it. Where would the world be without the covenant that had been made in eternity? You know, we need to remember, because we need to remember the truth of these things, because they're so easily forgotten. And even the way God has saved us can be so easily forgotten, because we can be taken up with so many things, can't we, that fill our hearts and minds. You know, you get these people who think that they'll start arguing with you over one particular doctrine or one particular word that you've said, as if the whole of your salvation hinges around one particular thing that they have on their minds all the time. Or they have a burden, they say, for something all the time. You know? And that's what their Christianity is. They get hooked up on one particular thing, or what they're going to do, or what they're going to achieve. But you think the only way you can do anything is through God and his covenant and his keeping and his mercy and his providence and his sovereignty over things. You know, we're powerless, we're weak. If you're a believer, then I think the beginning of a new year, just as Moses was doing with these Israelites here as they entered into that, or about to enter into that promised land, it's a good time to think back of what God has done, because we spend so much time thinking of ourselves, don't we? Our self inward looking introspection, so much time. You see, because if you're a believer, you can be certain of these things, that this covenant is immovably sure. It will not change. Now, you know, we have a lot of problems, don't we, in this life? A lot of problems, difficulties, frustrations, afflictions, disease. Life isn't easy. It's a wilderness to us, isn't it? It's hard work living. It's hard work living. It's hard work living as a Christian in this world, because everything's against us. The world is against us. People are against us. People hate us. People don't like us. But the salvation of God's elect is immovably sure. It's an unchangeable state. Do you see this? That if you are saved, you are saved. Not might, if, shall be, you are. That's what the covenant does. The conditions of the covenant have been completely fulfilled and met by the surety, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does Paul say about her? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall rescind the covenant? And he goes on to say, no one can. He gives a long list of things that might be able to separate us. And he says at the end, they can't. It's impossible, because it's God's covenant. The second thing about it is God's covenant is immovably sure, but God's covenant is God's covenant. And there's nothing else that we can do to merit salvation. The only way of salvation is God's way of salvation, not your own. God's way. Because in the covenant, all the weighty conditions of the law have been met in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were laid upon Christ. He was perfectly obedient. He was the Lamb without spot or blemish. He perfectly fulfilled the law. He did everything that was necessary to bring those people that God the Father had given him to salvation. He did it, not themselves. He bore the punishment for your sin. He fulfilled the law for you. He granted you salvation, and he keeps you. Everything you need. And he's promised you everything as well, hasn't he? All your needs being met. Not your wants. All your needs being met. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will never see his children begging bread. And he's promised us that one great thing as well, that the promised land of believers. Heaven. That's the ultimate, isn't it? We live in this life, we wander about in this world. But what we're hoping for, I trust, if you're a believer, is not for more of this world, but for heaven. And that's why the Lord's Day is given to us, that we can come apart for a while, come out of this world, and we can start thinking of better things, of heavenly things, of things that have been made with a better covenant and better promises than anything that the world can have and give to us. But there's always a but, isn't there? But you see, the problem is we have to wait, don't we? We're like the children of Israel. We're on the borders of the promised land. We will receive all the promises of God. That's what the covenant will do. We will receive all the promises of God, but we have to wait. We have to wander around the wilderness of this world. We will receive all the promises of God. Heaven for the people of God is a surety, an immovable surety. But we have to wait at the right time. And in the right manner, we will receive all the promises, but we have to wait. That's part of the covenant. Everything is determined by the covenant, by what God has planned to do in time, planned in eternity. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Or are those just words on a page? Or words that come out of the mouth of the preacher? Do you believe it? If you do, what I'm going to say now is very simple, but it's very hard. Very simple and very hard. Because the psalmist in Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And what the psalmist is saying there is, it's saying, look back. We can go back from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. Look back at what God has done. Look back. Remember all the way, not just the Israelites coming out of Egypt, but all the way that the people of God were led. And all the way they were led right up to that time when the Lord Jesus Christ came. Look back. Remember. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. That's the message of remembering. Be still and know that I am God. Everything that comes to us comes not in our time, but in God's time. Because that's how he's working. The psalmist in Psalm 46 says, "Come and behold, look and see. Come and behold the works of God." And you see, that should be our motivation to continue. Throughout 2019, that should be our foundation for life. We shouldn't live like the world, who wanders about and like blind leaders of the blind. They don't know what they're going to do next, do they? They have all their schemes, they have all their plans, they work it all out, they sit in little huddles thinking we shall do this and do that. You can see that in the politicians, but it comes right the way down. They sit there in their little huddles and they think, this is what we're going to do. But it won't be if what God has planned. Because God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And our motivation to continue throughout 2019 is because God is sovereign and God has made a covenant and God will see his covenant through despite everything. A loving, sovereign, merciful, long-suffering, patient covenant keeping God. Dear believer, you realise, don't you, that God loves you. That God loves you. It was love that moved the Father to give the Son. It was love. Nothing that we do, it was love. A covenant of love in the Godhead to procure eternal life for sinners. That's what the covenant has produced. That is what the covenant is producing. That is what the covenant will do in the future. It's not man's covenant. It's God's covenant. And how do we see the outworking of that covenant? In mercy. In mercy and love. and care and comfort. You remember that God has been merciful to you? Every day, 2018, well, every day of your life, really, but we're looking back to 2018. Can you see God's mercy towards you? Every day? That when you've forgotten him, he doesn't forget you, that he's fed you and clothed you and given you the abilities that you have, that he's kept you and he's comforted you and he's seen you through and he's led you on. Do you see his mercy? What's mercy? You know the answer to that, don't you? What is mercy? Is God not punishing us as we deserve? He could have. But it's been mercy, hasn't it? Grace. Grace is God blessing us despite what we are. That's what we've seen through 2018, isn't it? Surely you can look back and see something of that over the past year. His mercy. You know, the scripture has lots of words for mercy. It calls it great mercy, tender mercy, rich mercy, full mercy, everlasting mercy. Can you look back at that? It's all part of the covenant, isn't it? God is merciful to you because of the covenant that he made. Can you look back and see anything of that in 2018? Can you remember that? Or perhaps we should put the question, how many times have you forgotten that God is merciful? His covenant is mercy, his covenant in love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, he said to the prophet Jeremiah 31 verse 3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And everlasting means what it says, doesn't it? There's no end to everlasting, is it? It goes on and on and on. On and on. Of course, it should be mutual love, shouldn't it? We should love God for what he has done for us. Mercy, love. He's seen to our needs, hasn't he? He's cared for us. You know, do we honestly suffer any great need? Have we in the past year? We've been fed and clothed, haven't we? Therewith be content. But have we really suffered? Some people do, don't they? Some people suffer. He's fed, he's clothed us, he's fulfilled his promise, he's kept us. He's kept us. Why? Because he's made a covenant. And that's what we should remember. Come to some words of application, really. What's the benefit of remembering all this? Well, I started at the beginning, learn from yesterday. That's what Einstein said, this irreligious ex-Jew scientist. Learn from yesterday. It's a good thing for us to do. Learn from yesterday. Because we are far too introspective, even as believers. We're far too inward-looking. We brood over our lives. We brood over our problems. The modern words is what would have, should have, could have been. That's what we spend our time concerned, what we wanted that we can't have, don't we? Make ourselves unhappy. Fill ourselves with desires that we can't keep. Desires that we will never achieve. That's what we do. You know, how many people come to God in their prayers and ask God for something, but they come with this spirit as if God is in some way obligated to answer every one of our prayers. That's because of a lot of false preaching about prayer, where we go to God and we ask him for something and then we get frustrated and disappointed because we don't get what we want. And that's the problem, because we look from our point of view. We don't look from God's point of view, do we? Thank God he doesn't give us everything we pray for. You know, we should look outside ourselves, not just inside. Learn from yesterday. Verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. That's what we should do, to look back. To look back, because that gives us some hope for the future, doesn't it? If God has kept his covenant, if God has kept his promises, if God has been merciful to you, if God has loved you with an everlasting love, if he has met your needs, if he's fed and clothed you, if he's looked after you, That's part of the covenant. That gives us hope for the future, that this God might continue, the immutable God who is sovereign. You know, sometimes it's time to look up, isn't it? Not look down all the time. Not look down all the time. Look at things the way God sees them, because that's the hope for the future, is in God, not in ourselves. Remember what God has done, because it gives us a very clear indication of what he's going to do. And if you have a plague of unbelief, or a plague of doubts and fears, or the terrible plague of self-reliance, then the very thing to do is to stop that and to look at God and put your belief in him and put your reliance upon him, because God has not abandoned us, even though in this country it might feel as if he has, with the remnant that we hear of so often that are left. But he hasn't abandoned us. Learn from yesterday. Remember all the way thy God has led thee. God is with us, is with his people. He is with his people, just as he was in those days of old as they stood there on the border of the promised land. He is with his people. And it's not just words on a page. It's reality. That's the reality of life. Not just words in a sermon or words on some text calendar. This is reality. This is what's actually going on. He is with us. Learn from yesterday. Why? Why should we bother? Because it would help you to live today. God is still with us in our joys, in our sorrows, in our good times, in our bad times, in our disappointments, in our frustrations, in our afflictions, in our trials, in all those unforeseen events. God is with us. He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is with us forever. Even in the face of all our sin and our backsliding and our failures, even when we forget him, he will never forget us, dear believer. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember all the way thy God has led thee. Look at the words carefully, and I'll close with this. Verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live. Put the emphasis on words there, on those words there. That ye may live and multiply, and then go in and possess the land. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Learn from yesterday to help you to live for today and to give you hope for tomorrow. Amen.